What is the number one challenge of a leader? The number one challenge of a leader is to ensure that there is alignment on the purpose and alignment on the values, and that everyone is understanding very clearly who we can become. So there is a journey.
A place to go.
And there is a place to go, and it cannot be money.
Welcome to the Follow My Lead podcast, where we transfer stories and best practices of today's leaders to the leaders of tomorrow, with your host, John Eads.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Follow My Lead podcast. I'm your host, John Eads. You can find me on social media at John G. Eads. And today we're joined by the CEO of Sealed Air, Jerome Pirobert. He joined the company as the COO in 2012 and moved into the CEO role in 2013. Sealed Air is a global leader in food safety and security, facility hygiene, and product protection that generates revenue of approximately $7 billion last year in 2015. They have approximately 23,000 employees around the world, and they serve customers in 175 countries. So you can imagine the type of pressure and leadership influence that Jerome has over his company and the responsibility that he has. We went really deep in our dialogue. It probably went deeper than I ever anticipated it could, but that's really the kind of guy he is. He's really big on principles and on values and on purpose and on mission. He expects a lot out of his high-performing people. It was one of these dialogues that I'm so glad I had because I'll remember it forever. And I learned so much from Jerome, and I hope you will too. My favorite topics that we covered was why tough leadership works and why you can hold people to a higher standard, certain people to a higher standard. He talked just at detail about what keeps him up at night and how important employee engagement is and why people need a purpose to come to work. So I think you're going to learn a lot. Get out your pens, open Evernote, take a ton of notes. You're going to be able to apply things from this dialogue the rest of your life. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Jerome Pirobert, the CEO of Sealed Air. Just a quick housekeeping item. This podcast is brought to you by LearnLoft, a company focused on developing leaders that add value to their organization and the world. Check out their online leadership programs, podcasts, blogs, and resources at learnloft.com. Their popular 10-day leader challenge program helps you become a better leader in less than 5 minutes a day. Sign up as an individual or run a challenge within your organization at learnloft.com/leader-challenge. Well, Jerome, thanks for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
It's not often that you get to speak with someone that's been through so much change, both from an organizational perspective and then from a physical perspective, right? You've moved an entire company's location. So I thought it was a really... Very rarely can you get someone in the midst of all that change. But for people that don't know anything about Sealed Air, they don't know anything about Jerome, give us a little bit of your background, your story, how did you get to where you are today professionally?
Well, all of those are a very long journey when you are my age. And interestingly enough, I worked for two companies in my whole career. One for over 35 years, and the second one is still there. And when I was out of school, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to work for an American company in marketing. So I sent resumes to 50 American companies in Paris. And as I didn't know exactly which one I wanted to join, so I sent 50 resumes from A to L by alphabetic order. And I said to myself that if it doesn't work, I'm going to do M to Z. And this is how I have been hired by Dow Chemical.
So where were you born?
I was born in Argentina from French parents. Lived some years in Argentina, and then we moved back to France.
And then you came to the States to work in marketing.
Yeah, the first time was in 93. Then I went back to Europe and then came back in 2002, and I've been working in the U.S. since 2002.
Are there people professionally or experiences that stand out to you on that
almost 40-year professional journey now from Dow through Sealed Air that have made a big impact on how you lead as now a CEO of a major American corporation?
Always, always. Remember at school, which is the teacher that you remember? Certainly not the one who you were joking at or throwing little paper balls when he was writing on the blackboard. Not that one. You remember the one who taught you something. You remember the one not necessarily who you liked the most, but the one who you respected the most. And those are the people who, the leaders who I remember in Dow and in other places, not those ones who were necessarily the nicest, the most friendly, but those who inspired me to do better, or those who taught me something. So those are the ones.
Those are the ones that stood out. When I asked some of your people at Sealed Air what kind of a leader Jerome is, the answers were pretty consistent. He's tough. He's tough. I heard that over and over again. He's tough. What does tough mean to you as a leader?
It's funny that you say that because I'm not sure that tough would be the right word, although they are the jury. I'm not. But I hope you ask some more questions. Because, in fact, if you understand tough as he really is never happy and he's a grumpy guy, etc., that's not who I am, and that's not who they say I am.
Let me rephrase. They said tough, but very fair. Okay. I mean, it came across like it was a good tough, not a bad tough.
Okay,
right?
Good.
Out of a respect, almost what you were just mentioning before about the people that taught you lessons, that had your best interest in mind, but weren't always your best friend, right? They were there to help make you the best version of yourself. Right. That's the sense of the answer that I got.
Good. Well, first of all, as I said, they're the jury.
Mm-hmm.
So they are the ones to make comments. My view is that we always can do better. And therefore, I am tougher, by the way, with the most talented. Because the most talented have the IQ and the EQ to always do better. And actually, we wrote our core values, our mission, and our vision a year after I started in the company. Actually, we published them in 2013, and we just wrote our core competencies. And because we have completely transformed under my leadership, Sealed Air from a company which was having so-so performance into one which is aiming at being a great company, and we're not a great company, but we are making extraordinary improvements to become, I can assure you that I have written or weighed in every single word of our vision, our mission, and our core values. And we just got into our core competencies, and we have four. And one of them is called owner's mentality. The second one is customer obsessed. The third one is agile through adversity. And the fourth one is never totally satisfied. So that comment of never totally satisfied might be generating the comment that you heard on me, which is about his stuff. Because in fact, when you are a leader, you are the one who sets the bar. You are the one who says, okay, let's move on, or try again. Most of the times as a leader, you will find out that the first answer is never the right one. And that's an advice to the future leaders, which is you can do better. So because of time pressure, because of workload, because of any of those kind of excuses, when you receive a report, when you study something, etc., and you say, good enough, let's move. And that time you might find, and you're not completely comfortable with that, but you say, let's go. In fact, it is the time when you need to pause and go back to whoever shared that with you and say, try again. We can do better. So this, we can do better, my people heard it time and time again, because we set the bar. If the top guy accepts systematically the easy answer, everybody will adapt down. If he pushes people, everybody will get over that bar and say, yes,
we
can
up.
Do and adapt up, and yes, we can do it.
The never satisfied.
Never totally satisfied.
Where did that come from? Was it, did you have leaders early in your career that kind of let you off the hook too easily?
Yes, I had a boss who was always sending me my documents or my presentation back. And sometimes I was wondering whether he ever read it or whether he was just doing this to make me think again. And read many of your documents. Read many of your slides. Most of the time, they have much too many words. Most of the times, you say the same thing several times. Most of the time, you talk about platitudes. So just go for what is important. I remember that was in France. One of my early bosses was telling me a letter need to be short and very clear. You don't have to go and explain things over and over again. And your two-page letter can fit in half a page. Think about it and come back. And those people make you better. So let me tell you one thing about the legacy I would like to leave when I leave this company. It is the one where people show respect for the way I led them and basically say, he made us better. I'm not trying to run a fan club. This is not a basketball team. This is a company which has a purpose, which wants to become the very best. We want to be what I call a formidable competitor, and I'll talk about that later on. But it's not a fan club, which means that people don't have to like me. So if somebody comes and tells me, I don't like you, I can't be affected by this. If somebody comes and tells me, I don't respect you, that is going to go straight to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you? Well, I don't respect you because of this, 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 and this. And if those things are true, I can assure you that is going to hurt.
Well, and at the core of respect is obviously trust and values, right? And
yep.
And even the purpose that you've laid out, the vision, it sounds as though deep in you, it's mostly about those things like values and trust and respect that ultimately gets the best out of people.
And principles. In life, you have to agree and discuss, you need to have, and then when you negotiate, you need to negotiate based on principles. If I come and negotiate with you and we agree on the principles of an agreement, then normally we're done. Because what you can't have, which you sometimes have, and it is a very distrustful negotiation at that point in time, is that you and me would agree on the principles, and then we apply the principles, they generate some results, you don't like the results, and then you want to renegotiate the principles. Now, the principles are what are stable.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have values, and you have to have principles in life. And those are the ones who guide you. So who gives those values and those principles? It starts with your parents.
Yeah.
And I know very few leaders who do not often quote their parents, their father or their mother, because they are the ones who gave the values and the basic principles. And then some mentors or some people they admire. And again, it is this teacher who taught you something, not the one to whom you were sending the chalk on the back as he was writing on the wall.
Throwing the spitballs.
Exactly right, and those things. So it's very, very important. And you have some people who have principles, and you have people who don't have principles. You have people who have conscience,
but
and you
can,
have people who have no conscience.
But you
and
can
tell me about how do you behave in front of people who have no conscience. Actually, somebody of conscience is somewhat disarmed. But I can assure you, the person with no conscience never ends up winning. Never.
Fantastic. It's a fantastic point. One of the things I really wanted to touch on today is how important, particularly for a company of your size, how important the financials are, how important the EBITDA is, how important the next quarter is, the next
two
quarters.
These are the results.
The results, the lagging KPIs.
If you work for me, I can hammer on your head, day and day, month over month, quarter over quarter, I can hammer onto you, I want more results.
Faster.
If I do this, if I only do this, I'm doing the wrong thing. What is the reality of a company? Fix what you have to fix, then the results will come. And if you're obsessed by the results only, you are addressing the wrong thing. So if you work for me and you're not bringing the results, then I have to ask myself whether you're the right guy. And by the way, you might be a great guy in the wrong job. And therefore, you're going to feel miserable, absolutely miserable, because in fact, you don't have the job which fits you. We all have a right brain and we all have a left brain. The right brain is the creative brain. So you let people express their creativity when they have jobs which can fit that profile. And then you have people who say, I don't like to be creative, I'm uncomfortable if I have to be, etc., etc. And you have to put people in the right jobs. So if somebody does not succeed, just step back. And is it because that person has reached the level of incompetencies or so, or if it is it because that person doesn't like what he or she does and therefore needs a different type of job?
It seems when the people I've met at Sealed Air and even walking into your space, it seems there's a lot of talented people here.
There's always talented people, but by the way, there are not more talented people in Sealed Air than in GE, than in Google, than in etc. Statistically, the average IQ is the same. Statistically, it
so
is.
So what separates them? What
the
separates?
Engagement. So what is my number one problem or challenge, not problem, challenge as the leader of a company? It is to how to engage our people. So we have $7 billion of sales, we have 23,000 people, and by the way, having 3 billion and 10,000 or 20 billion and 200,000 is just the same. it's not more complicated to run a company with 10 times the size or 10 times the number of employees. It is the same. Don't think that it is more complicated, or don't think that it is easier if it is a smaller company. It is about leadership, and the real question, day in and day out, is how do I make sure that every single of our employees will come to the office, to the lab, will go in their car, will go in the plant, go wherever, thinking that without them, it can't happen. How do I feel, how do I make sure that they are engaged to the level that they understand that they have to bring their part, and that because they consciously or unconsciously decide the extent to which they want their company to be successful. Because if I come and ask them, do you want Sildare to be successful? 100% of the people, or 99.9, will tell you, of course.
Right.
Of course. So this is not the right question. The question is, to which extent do you want your company to be successful? And what are you going to do differently today? Better? Or differently? More creatively, more engaged, more this, more that? So we become better as a company. And that's not easy. And this is actually the number one challenge of leaders. Challenge of a leader in a team, and that team can be with foremen in the plant, or that team can be in a lab, that team would be in a customer service, mm-hmm. that can be in a finance, in legal, whatever. How do you generate this passion? How do you generate this will that we can be better because the journey is worth it? By the way, did you ever notice that those guys at school who have an A never complain about workload? It is only the guys who have a C, a D, or an E who complain about workload and how difficult things are. Never the guy who has an A or a B. Why? Because they have fun.
They enjoy it.
They enjoy winning. And it's not, and they don't count, they don't take this as work. They take this as a game on which they want to excel. Nobody told them to have an A. The guys who have an A, nobody tell them. Their parents never told them. It is the guy who have a C or a D who are told by their parents, you better improve.
Mm-hmm.
And then those guys are full of excuses. The teacher is
it's
not good.
It's always somebody else's
it's,
fault.
Oh, it's always. The yeah. disclaimers are full. So how do you create an environment where there is no disclaimer? How do you create an environment where people own it? So then we come back to the core competencies. Owner mentality. And it says, disciplined in holding self and others accountable for honoring stretch commitments. And this brings me to the core values. I do believe in principles. Because once you have everybody believe in principles and believe in the mission, then the whole work is done. Now, you can take it for granted, but our core value number one is about ethics, and it says uncompromising ethics.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it say in there is, every day we lead in a conscious commitment to always do the right thing. Well, by the way, it goes without saying. But then the number one is very interesting because it also says courageous determination. And what it says is we are empowered to do what it takes to deliver our promise. We all make promises to each other. We make promises to our customers.
Mm-hmm.
We make promises to each other when we work in a team. And when we can't, when we don't deliver on a promise, what do most of the people do? They have excuses. And this is why this core value number two says clearly, we are empowered to do what it takes to deliver on our promise. So I can't deliver on my promise. We are a member of the team. you need to step up.
So the question I would have is, for many leaders that don't have this, right, that don't have this set of foundation, these principles, these values, and they haven't documented with their team, how did you go about doing that?
They all have core values. Every single company has a vision, a mission, core values. What is the problem? They never refer to it, or it is tarte à la crème, which is me too, completed. Like, very often, you can go and read the mission of a company, and you say, well, just change the name from Caterpillar to Google, and it's the same.
Yeah.
So you've got to make it resonate with the employees. Our mission,
I guess the question was, how did you, specifically here, you know, having to turn around a company, and I'm sure you did an amazing amount of, or a lot of observing, right? When you first came on, I'm sure you watched and listened a lot before you came back with, this is the approach we're going to take. How did you go about specifically building the vision and the mission and the purpose here? Did you get your executive management team together?
So we did some of that, and this is why age helps sometimes. And age helps because experience tells you things. And therefore, through observation that I could make when I arrived in this company, and through my own acquired experiences in things on which I believe, I just blended both, and we discussed about those in our executive committee. When I arrived, I saw that this company had a much bigger potential than it was expressing. And therefore, I said, this company can really do better. And this is how we have changed many things.
Yeah.
But then you want to anchor them into a few principles. Our mission is saying something which I think is absolutely extraordinary, because it tells you exactly who we are. And our mission says, we reimagine the industries we serve to make the world taste better, feel better, etc. But the key words are, we reimagine the industries we serve. So therefore, when you read our name and tagline, which is Sealed Air Reimagined, it means something. So what does it mean? It means that we're not here to push stuff onto our customers. We might invoice them products, but we sell them waste elimination. We sell them creativity based on knowledge to eliminate waste and create new value to our customers.
Yeah.
So coming back to the earlier point, which is, what is the number one challenge of a leader? The number one challenge of a leader is to ensure that there is alignment on the purpose and alignment on the values, and that everyone is understanding very clearly who we can become. So there is a journey.
A place to go.
And there is a place to go, and it cannot be money only.
Yep.
Because
I think the best of example of that, Jerome, in modern day, it is the Tesla CEO and SpaceX CEO.
Sure.
He said, we're going to put a man on the moon by 2025, right? That's his vision statement for SpaceX. And I think it gives the entire team something really big and hairy and audacious to go chase, right? And everyone in that company can get behind that. And it's far enough out there for them to really work hard to get there. I don't know if they'll ever get there, right? And
Somebody has already got there.
Well, I mean, personal spacecraft to Mars.
Sure.
But the idea is just, I love the fact that the number one thing a leader can do is values, purpose, mission, vision, you know, just getting those things right. You can't, as Bill McDermott said, Those are a few things that a leader can't be forgiven for, right?
You know, a company is like an individual. A company's purpose cannot only be to make money. There's nothing wrong in saying that the company needs to make more money because the shareholders have choices, all right? And therefore, the purpose is to make more money. Fine. By the way, I have never seen a company who's trying to make less money.
Right.
All right? So that's one. But just the same way, the purpose of an individual cannot be only to make more money. Because the day you fall in love with money, you will never, ever have enough of it. So there needs to be something more important than that.
Brilliant. Wonderfully said. Wonderfully said. Let's end on some fun stuff. We've talked about a lot of deep purpose, vision, mission. One of my favorite two questions to ask. What's the best investment you've ever made, personally, professionally? As you look back on your life, what's just the best investment you've ever made?
So there are many great investments. The best one is probably having raised a family I'm proud of. And this doesn't come by coincidence, because it comes back to some values and giving the taste of effort and saying to your family members that this is a journey, that it's not a destination, it's a journey, and that you can always do better. And having fun at doing those things. It can't be about flagellation. It can be this. You need to enjoy what you're doing. You need to have fun in doing those kind of things. So that's what comes to my mind.
And it leads into the second question. What's harder, leading at work or leading at home?
It's much harder to lead at home. The reason is that your credibility is established over 50 years.
That's right.
Much longer. And it's very important. The other big investment I made professionally in this is that I was ambitious. Actually, I have a story to tell you. When I accomplished 35 years at Dow, there was somebody who went to look at the HR files, and they found two of the interview documents that have served when I got interviewed 35 years before. So this was in Dow Chemical France and all of this, and they found it. And they gave it to me. And it's funny because I remember very well the names, and right. I remember those kind of interviews and all of this. And this was a form, and it was with ratings and all of this, and then comments. And there was one of the question was, what is one of the greatest assets of this of the candidate? And I was 22 years old. And it was one of the interviewers has written ambition. And then the line before, but after that, it was, what is the biggest challenge that we're going to find with him? Ambition. and this is great, because it just tells you that you have to have ambition. You have to have the right ambition. I think it's great to be ambitious, but it needs to be a balanced ambition. You know what I look first when I look at somebody to hire? At his balance. Because you can't have people who are grinded by their ambition, because they're gonna trip one day. So ambition are important. All of those things are very important. Balance is important.
You seem like such a humble man. I mean, in a lot of ways, you have almost every reason not to be humble because of your professional success. Has humility always been something that has been important to you? It might have been some of those principles your parents taught you when you were young, or that you then taught your kids. But how hard has it been to remain humble through your profession?
I have been told by my father in my family that that family cohesion and brotherhood were much more important than anything. I have been told that a career is something which needs to fit you. It's okay not to be willing to be at the top, because at the top is very lonely. And if you are at the top, you have to be prepared to be very lonely. I have been told that it was good to have ambition as long as it doesn't grind you. I have been told that you shouldn't do to others in order to grow things that you don't want to see done to you.
Mm-hmm.
I have been told that if you do quality work, somebody will notice. And if you end up plateauing at a point in time, you have to be comfortable with this, because priorities in your life change. When you're 30 years old, and if you are ambitious, you want to conquer the world. Well, when you are 50 years old, you're not going to have that ambition, because if you haven't conquered the world, you're not going to conquer it from then on. And it's okay. It's okay. So there's not one model. There's not one model of leadership, because if there would be one, everybody would apply it.
Right.
There are many ways to lead. But at the end of the day, make no mistake, balance is the most important. So you're telling me that that I seem humble. My wife doesn't tell me that I seem humble. My wife tells me sometimes you're big-headed and so. And one thing, there's a difference between being big-headed, which I hope I'm not, than being proud of what you have accomplished. I can assure you that when you are a young Frenchman hired in the French subsidiary of very large chemical company, you can't have the ambition to end up in the executive committee as an executive vice president of that very same group. I never had that thought. I never thought it was something that I could have, and I was okay. And every time I was growing in this company, I was saying, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. And should I be proud of it? Of course. Should I aim at the next step? No, not necessary. You should serve. My definition, and when I left almost every single of my senior leadership jobs, I told my successor in public, I said, you have one thing to make sure of, is that you will leave this job better than you found it. This is the best thing which you can do. Because, by the way, graves are full of irreplaceable people. So never be big-headed, because somebody will get you forgotten. And I have zero illusion about anything in a professional life, because, in fact, 6 months or a year after you left, everybody has forgotten you. They might remember you with one or two nice things that you will have taught them, but the new guy will have taken over, right. And
but
this is
those,
as good as that, and very well liked.
Some of those principles that you talked about at the very beginning,
yeah.
The values, the principles, those things stick in people.
So they stick provided you make them live.
Mm-hmm.
What is the number one problem of companies which don't have much engagement from their workforce? It is that the vision, the mission, the core values, the core competencies are just a piece of paper which is hanging in the conference room and that nobody reads.
Right.
So those are not even worth the paper on which they're written. So make sure that if you do believe in those, everybody believes in them, and therefore you need to repeat them, you need to share them, you need to ask your employees, whether they resonate.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they don't, you have wasted your time.
Yeah. Well, I can't tell you thank you enough. It was fantastic. To get your perspective like today, it was just a real treat. And so we really appreciate it. I know the audience is going to love it. And We look forward to the success of Sealed Air in the Charlotte area.
Thank you very much. This has been a great fun. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed another episode of the Follow My Lead podcast. It's a real honor and pleasure to bring you stories and best practices to help you perform better at work and at home. You can continue to educate yourself at learnloft.com. There's free resource section, as well as old podcast episodes, blogs, and even a free trial of our Getting Leadership Ready program, as well as our High Performance Leadership program to help you perform better at work. Until next time, remember, you don't need permission to lead.